Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. It's another week of advertising. I don't think people expected me to be here today because, you know, people are voting and things. But in and amongst all that voting, I think the advertising goes on, you know, and the show goes on. So I'm very happy to have you guys today. Whoever of you guys who are not out in the streets or of you guys who are actually working today, thanks for hanging out. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. We're going to have a dope show today. I've actually got a full-on studio. The studio's full of a lot of people today. My niece is here because it's no school today, so I asked my niece to come hang out. Come get a shout out. A big part of my production team, Mr. Cheese, is here as well because we're not at work, so you know we can produce from the studio. And we have some really, really interesting guests today as well. I think you can hear that my voice is a little crazy, only because it was pre-election day yesterday. And it gets a bit crazy in the hood when we do that. But the advertising still goes on. It's been a great week in advertising. Crazy week. The cat from Saatchi & Saatchi International said some stupid stuff. And people let him go, rightfully so, because he said some stupid stuff. And you know what? I don't think that we should dwell on the whole gender thing anymore. Only because that's his issues. He didn't know what he was saying, and he said some wrong stuff. So we're gonna let that go. But most importantly, I've got some guests today that are gonna talk about elections, right? So you guys are out there voting today, and elections, election posters, election branding. What does it mean? Like. If you were to only vote for some people because of election branding, who would you vote for, right? And we're going to have a chat with some people that some of you might recognize. Some of you might know from the streets, from advertising parties, from advertising agencies, from doing their own thing. But most importantly, you will know these guys. So I'm actually going to start by saying... the guy sitting in front of me, wait, first of all, Koliwe Sinuma is running a little late. Let's not let that slide, guys. We're not going to let it slide because running late on this show is a bad thing, and we're not going to let it slide. So that's cool. But I've got in front of me a man who does a lot of amazing things. If you've ever heard of a thing called the Design Share Party, right, you'll know the man who's sitting in front of me. Only because of the amazing things that has brought to us in the advertising world and just made us realize how much we are actually capable of outside of the job bag and the brief. So in front of me right now is a guy that I respect a whole lot. And I think you guys might have heard that Touch and Gareth are doing a thing, but fret not. The horn is still here, guys, and I'm going to play this man the horn because I respect this man a whole lot. So in front of me right now, I've got Mr. Neo Rakhajani. What's going on, bruv?
What's going on, brother?
I'm good, man. Good to have you in the studio, son.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the invite.
I'm glad you came out on election day.
Yes.
Did you vote or are you going to vote later?
Later. Later, I had to do this first and then go vote.
Yeah, are you actually going to vote though?
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, the whole voting apathy thing, it's a weird thing for me, you know, like if you have an opinion about something, then go vote, you know what I mean? Staying home and not voting is a bit weird for me. How many people have you spoken to who have kind of said they're not going to do the voting thing?
I mean, you know, a lot of people are unhappy with the status quo, with the way things are.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people who are like, they're not gonna vote.
Yeah.
You know, it's civic duty.
Yeah.
To vote. It's the citizen's responsibility to vote.
Yeah.
That said, not voting does not exclude you from the protections that the Constitution affords you. You're still protected by the Constitution. You're not excluded.
I got
not
you.
Voting is a right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very cool. And to you guys out there, like, don't be alarmed by hearing words like Constitution. It's not going to be a very serious show. I mean, Neo's going to say words like Constitution, but don't be worried about it. But no.
Yeah.
So let's keep, while we wait for Koliwe.
Yeah.
So like, when it comes to, in fact, I'm going to start by asking you this. What is Neo Rakhajani up to right now? What are you doing right now outside of the Design Share Party? Well, including Design Share Party. What are you up to?
Well, I'm a DJ. I write. I make beats.
You're a DJ?
Yeah. I exhibit as a fine artist. And I host events.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do a couple of things.
Yeah.
I'm a broadly creative person.
Ah, okay.
I also I run a small studio with Lerato Ngakane.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. We've just started. We've got about a year in now. We've done a.
When you say studio, like it's like a gallery, or is like a studio as in you guys make stuff?
Yeah, we brand stuff, advertising, oh, yeah? Brand design, communication stuff. Yeah,
oh, that's dope. That's really dope.
Yeah.
And like what always interests me, right, is when people who have been in advertising go out and like branch out into things like that.
Yeah.
When did you think that it was time for you to like leave advertising and go do this stuff that you're up to right now?
I think in the year 2000, somewhere maybe 98, I read
Hold on. Now, yeah. When did you start in advertising? Tell us that first.
I started in 96.
Yes.
I tried to study at the AAA. I managed to get a year in, but I wasn't a model student, so.
What does that mean? What does "I wasn't a model student" mean?
No, I was just surfing around, you know. But I was very lucky to get a training under a guy called Ian Becker,
yeah,
Nkwenkwe Nkomo,
oh, yeah?
And Nick Walsh.
I mean, that's a long time ago.
There was FCB.
Okay.
Lindsay Smithers, yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second because cool. Somebody decided to arrive. You know, like, you invite people to come hang out. Let's come hang out on voting day. I don't know whether his excuse better be that he went to vote. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kolwe Sinuma just walked into the room. I hope he has a dope-ass excuse for being this late. Kolwe, welcome. Welcome. It's nice to have you on the show, son. Yeah. Noah and I were having a very dope conversation until you barged in late.
Should I have not come?
No, we're happy to have you. I just, you know, time and all that. But Noah and I were talking about, you know, how we started in the game. We were talking about names like Nkwenkwe Nkomo. That's how you know, like Noah's not a millennial.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, so you were telling us how we started at FCB. Tell us the story. How did you actually get into FCB? With your portfolio bag?
Yeah, I actually had a portfolio. You know, never mind the fact that I didn't actually know anything about advertising. I just started creating these things and I went to show them. And that was after about a year of prelim at the AAA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to show, I think it was Ian Becker or Nick Walsh.
Are these people who used to be at SCB?
Yeah, Lindsay Smithers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, people who say things like Lindsay Smithers are people who say things like Leo Bennett.
Yeah.
You know, like things that no one knows anymore. You know what I mean? It's like old stuff.
Yeah.
And like the current guys that we have right now, who are some of the guys that you work with in that time?
That we have right now.
Yeah.
So
I want you to see Melusi Chabalala. I really want you to
see
that.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Melusi. This guy right here, Chetsa.
Tell me what
Festus.
You guys have been doing. What have you guys been up to?
Worked with all these guys at Mother Russia.
First thing in the
Mojo Mother Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Network.
Dope.
Yeah.
So advertising must have been tough in the 80s, though.
90s. Late, very late 90s.
No, I've heard stories about when advertising was like in the very beginning when they started letting, you know, people of color in.
Yeah.
That you guys had to bring like flasks. You couldn't make tea in the kitchen. You had to bring.
You know, I mean, when I first started working in advertising, the weirdest thing for me was the tea lady.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing for me. Like, you mean. This, you know, I call it meh. If in a normal,
yeah,
you know, context, I would call this person meh, ma, you know, old,
yeah.
you mean this person must go and make me tea? You know, that was the weirdest thing
for me. No, then you were just a bit too sensitive for advertising. You can't come here and be sensitive and talk about boom, meh, boom, mang, mang.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying culture clash.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So let's talk to this late guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Sinuma. Koli, what's going on, man?
A lot's been going on.
Hey man, we've been trying to get you on the show for a long time. Ooh, sorry about that. We've been trying to get you on the show for a very, very long time, man.
Everything.
Yeah?
We've been busy at Studio 214. We've been busy trying to evolve into something that is relevant, something that gives us joy.
Right.
I think part of the 18 years of experience.
Yeah.
You learn that eventually to connect and to create something, you actually have to be happy yourself.
Look at that. So, look at that.
We're working on joy.
Right.
We're working on playing the game, of course, but more than anything, it drives us. Drives us. It's just creativity. So right. We don't even look at what we do as advertising anymore.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a victory, you know.
That actually leads me to my next question. So I've spoken to you about the whole thing that you guys do. And you say things like mood styling.
Oh my God! Right? You've been listening.
Yeah. I hang out with you, and you say this. You say this word to me, and I wanna actually understand what does that mean. You know, like the kids out there who think that there's being an art director, a copywriter.
Yeah.
What is mood styling? What's it about?
It's that was a way of trying to capture what we look forward to.
Right.
And what we look forward to is being African. What we want to be and what we always want to portray and fight for aesthetically, conceptually, what we want to celebrate is African. So the African way of thinking is not always based on concepts. It's not always based on mathematics.
Gotcha.
You know, it is science, mathematics meets magic meets intuition. You know,
just when you thought creative couldn't get more complicated,
no,
right? And then Cody would just put this stuff out.
No, man, it gets simpler when you take the complicated and call it what you feel it should be. So I think when I first started working as a designer, one of the big pieces that I always talk about is the Soweto Towers, and purely because it was a challenge, because it was a symbol of apartheid. You know, I was in exile when I grew up in the 80s.
Wow.
And I used to come back home at the Kloof, and this thing would be pumping fumes into Soweto, and then we need that are pumping coal gas, you know. So at around 5 to 7, the township was ugly. So to take something like that and turn it into somewhere where people jump off, it's not a concept. It's capturing an essence.
Right.
And so basically, mood styling is that. It's actually dealing with essences that then create concepts.
Just us. Guys, Colius Numa just said essences. Essences. But that's dope though.
Is
this the time when it was branded, when it was branded by the F&B stuff?
This was, I think, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I think Neo had just left FCB.
Because that's the thing, right? Both you cats were at FCB.
Yes.
Did you guys actually get to work there at the same time?
No, I think only once later. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he came in for a little brief stint.
Yeah. Guys, the 80s were tough. Blacks were coming in, leaving.
90s. But I mean, even with in those days, what we were doing, I think I was very much a designer. I was in the experiential section,
which
meant we were literally the shit shovelers. Okay, if somebody didn't make the website work, if somebody didn't make the design, experiential at then was that.
Was not a thing, yeah.
It was an experiment. So whoever didn't pull it off over there, we ended up catching it, and that was nice.
You used to work with Mandy Crocombe at the time, right?
Yeah.
Shout out Mandy Crocombe. What's going on?
Hey, man. And those type of challenges created the idea that it's not experiential for me. It created the idea that I didn't want to be a designer, that I didn't want to be an ad man. We're making stuff now. We're making furniture. We're making sculptures.
That
we're
is
making
dope.
Installations. I mean, we just finished helping Salina, the National Lotteries Commission rebranding. We're working on Soul City rebranding ourselves.
That's dope.
And we managed to create a permanent installation for Mzwandile Buthelezi at the National Lotteries Commission. He's got a
Get
permanent
out.
exhibition. So we called it interior design, but of course it was.
Korea, I think you're an overachiever. I think I might have to stop you at some point. You're such an overachiever, man. Like,
that's it, man.
Like it sounds like there's absolutely nothing that this mood starting thing doesn't actually encompass.
No.
So you also told me, just take a step back to that Soul City thing.
Yeah.
You told me about that channel, you know, the new the channel, right?
It was a pop-up channel.
Yeah, so how did you guys get involved with that?
Currently now, where you actually have to engage with it on Facebook. But
right.
What was interesting about that project, I worked with Neo on that. He did the ident. Yeah. So which went from print into TV ident.
Yeah.
It went into PR. It was a pop-up channel until March. But the Facebook thing is still going. And the point of what the campaign we created was to showcase fitness as like you've never seen it.
Wow.
So people doing hopscotch is actually fitness. The things that we don't allow kids to do anymore, we actually need to encourage them to do that. Skipping.
Mostly also because the gym is a rubbish place to be.
It is.
You know, like, no one wants to go to the damn gym.
Look, I've started going.
Kwaliwe just lied for no reason, y'all.
No, I didn't. I have, and I used to when I was in Cape Town, when I lived in Cape Town between 2008 and 2010. And the thing that motivated me is still the same thing that's motivating me now.
Yeah.
I want to be creatively fit, if there's such a thing. I want to be mentally fit, and I do want to be physically fit. I want to have stamina. I want to arrive on time. You know, I want to.
that would be nice.
It does mean you can work longer. It means you can interact better.
Yeah.
And also because we collaborate, that it's one of the toughest things. Like, I don't even look at clients as clients anymore. I don't look at Neo as just a peer. I look at him as a CEO of his own thing, bringing his experience into...
So that's very interesting, Kodiwe. You keep mentioning Neo. So do you guys have like a collaborative thing going on? Like, do you guys have an understanding? You tell me, like, how does the whole thing, how does your understanding with 214 work?
What I like about Kholiwe's approach, the mood styling approach, is, you know, creating experiences, creating a vibe, you know, changing the landscape, as opposed to creating communication pieces.
No, I think you're dodging. I'm saying, how do you guys collaborate?
It's fluid.
Yeah.
Right.
It's getting to that. Is
yeah,
that
cool.
Getting to that.
I like that. You guys are such a partnership. You actually just answered this question. That's dope, Kholiwe. That's dope.
It's because it's organic. Yeah.
We've worked together on a lot of branding pieces. Campaigns.
Yeah.
So Kholiwe has a big project. He'll call me in as an illustrator or graphic designer.
Yeah.
Or a thinker.
Right.
Just say, bring the thought.
Yeah.
Art director.
So for those of you guys who don't know, like I said, Neo runs this amazing thing called the Design Share Party, you know?
Yay.
And it's like a huge showcase where people who've always thought of themselves as art directors, for example, can come out there and just like show their art skills.
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that, Neo? Like, when did you think, you know what, we need a platform like that? You know, like how did they come about?
Yeah, it's precisely because Joburg, there's a lot of things happening in Joburg, cultural activity. I know a lot of illustrators, art directors, designers, but we don't have a place where we go every month and gather and share our thoughts, our work, our experiences.
Is that how often it happens? Once a month?
Once a month.
Okay.
And yeah, so I was like, you know, we should have this event.
Yeah.
I put it together, and the first speaker was Riot Sindiso.
Shout out Sindiso Riot.
Shout out.
That was crazy. Well, now, August will be our 20th. We've been doing these monthly.
20th?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you're so busy producing these things that you forget to look back.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of crazy people. The standard of work is amazing.
So if I show up at like a design share party, what should I expect? Like, when I walk in, like what am I going to see? Is it going to be like talks, like a TED talk, or is it going to be like, you know, like what do I see? What should I expect when I get there?
It's a very intimate atmosphere.
Intimate, guys.
Yeah.
Intimate.
Yeah. Very compact, really dope venues, about 3 speakers every time.
So it's not at the same place all the time?
No, we switch venues. Okay. Melville, Bramfontein, Maboneng,
Right now, we're kind of at the Constitution Hill.
Right.
Yeah, we're in that precinct. We might move, might stay there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every three speakers come and they share their thoughts, their lives, their work.
Yeah.
Yeah, for now, about 20 minutes each.
I've been to one of these things, and you know what? If you have the time, you must actually make time to go out there and check this thing out. Like I said, like people who you've only ever seen as people who put together layouts or whatever, actually have this space where they can make amazing stuff come alive.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a space that Neo's put together, and I think I'm hella proud of that, man. That's really, really dope.
Oh, no, thanks, man, thanks. Yeah. But it's also amazing to, you see work on TV or you see work on a billboard, and you never know what the process is behind that work.
Right.
Or who actually makes that work.
Right.
So when these guys come and they show you, like Festus was there on Saturday.
Festus
and he showed about 10 TV ads that he's made. These are national, you know, these are ads that change the cultural landscape. And seeing this guy, Festus, the guy behind that work, was just amazing for the audience. People just clapped and clapped and clapped. They couldn't get over those ads.
So let's talk about the as you mentioned, Festus. You Koliwe, Festus, and Melis Chabalala, who's been on the show as well, used to have an understanding of sorts called Mojo Mother Russia or whatever, right? And you know what, like when that came along, a lot of us just went, this is dope, you know, the guys are doing an amazing thing, whatever. How did you guys, like, you know, between you guys, you and Lucy as one entity and people like Bufistas, how did you guys come about into thinking that you know, it's time to make actually what has become now a norm, which a lot of people are doing now in collaborating to create new agencies? How did that come about? How did you did you call Fistas up and say, yeah, Muna, let's have a beer?
And I think, can I just first talk about working the way the way the design scene works in Joburg, and the way the creative work scene works right now, the way we see it, is that a lot of people are either with the white people over there in Parkhurst.
It's starting.
It's where? Right, I'm talking the truth.
Yeah.
Or they're in those nice boutique agencies where, you know, you can be an illustrator and you work with some beautiful black creatives and things are fantastic, you know. But of course, we know who's the crafty one, who gets to go to the exhibitions and whatever. Now, Design Share Party, 76 Mother Russia, 76 Studio 214, which is what it is now, MKT, is basically people trying to create a space to meet.
Right? Hello.
I remember when we pitched for the Absolute, the first proper Absolute campaign, which was Absolute Bank. We were working with Cheta out there.
Yeah. We were working with Hack One.
We were working with Riot. We were working with Faith. We were working with Emiso.
Yeah.
The bold move that 76 Mother Russia took at that time was that we were not going to go to Cape Town. We were going to activate in Joburg and start recognizing that Joburg is a melting pot. So we made it about Cape Town. We made it about Africa, right, being a Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
We made it about Joburg, and we made the bridge the backdrop. And that's when I think we were starting to create this mood where it's not about what entity you are. It's how you get together and get
down.
That's
right. That's right.
Like, how you get together and get down. Can we be black about it?
Hey, it sounds revolutionary AF.
Yeah.
Right?
And have a party, you know?
Yeah.
But also give Joburg its due,
Yes, because we're very well traveled. We go out.
Man.
We meet people outside. So when Bo and Neo have Design Share Party, when 10 and 5 is happening, when both Studio 214 are happening and AMA Creative are happening. These are just vehicles, but the idea is the ability to call each other at the drop of a hat.
That's
and
dope.
Promise a client that will deliver. I mean,
that's really, really cool.
We were traveling in December for The Good Life. We just shot an annual report for the, SAFCO, South African Forestries Company Limited.
That's what's up.
Now, to go out and see the forests that we own and meet the people that make them run, from the laboratories to... And see that these are all black people, you know. So when you ask how did we get together,
I told you guys it started, right?
We get together to have a voice. We get together to be louder. We get together to be stronger.
Yeah.
We get together because it's necessary. So there are contracts that people sign between each other, and then there is just the attraction that happens. Like, I know I can call you for a shoot and you can be my model. So don't lie.
Thanks for that. I determined to be free that day. But you touched on a thing that's actually very close to my heart, because I feel like the Cape Town conversation, right? Yeah. We don't have it enough. You know, it feels like we've allowed the Cape Town conversation to be its own thing. You know, where we're all fine with the fact that like all the creators from Cape Town aspire to come to Joburg because they're advertising, right?
I'm not fine with it.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm getting at, Kodia. Yeah. Like we all pretend that it's all fine, but we all know that it's a problem. You know, if we are going to make South African work, there's no reason why Black Cape Town creatives should be aspiring to come to Joburg.
Yes.
Right? And I'll start with you, Neoto. Why is it that you think we have not been able to change the conversation, right, in Cape Town? That it feels like it's a part of the advertising of South Africa and not just a place that we go to for one end of the month. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah, because every other month you just find out that, it was at JWT Cape Town, right? But we keep hearing about guys from Cape Town who come to Joburg. Why is this thing that exists?
I don't know. You know, Cape Town sometimes feels like its own, it's the separate country from the rest of. But, you know, you've got these three centers, Durban, you've got Cape Town, and you've got Joburg. Each of them have their own values, their own histories, their own cultural landscapes. I don't know. It's just, I think it's a matter of having three centers.
So I'll tell you, like for example, in the US, right? There's like, you know, New York, LA, right? And they all make American work, right? San Francisco has an ad scene. They all make an American brand of work, right? Yeah. All of us, for some reason, know that Cape Town makes a certain brand of work. And you know, this is not an attack on Cape Town, right? It's just me trying to understand. Why is that, like for example, people like Kaya Dlanka, for example, started in Cape Town and knew that in order for their careers to jump, they had to come to Joburg, right?
Okay.
Why have we all been fine? Okay. And I'm coming to you now, Kodi. Why are we still fine with the fact that, like there's no Cape Town... You know what I mean?
I hear you. I'll start with the obvious.
Okay.
And then I'll get to the solution very quickly, because, you know, the obvious is Cape Town is still a Eurocentric stronghold. However,
and they pride themselves on that.
Yes, they do. But the most amazing thing about Cape Town, and I think why I spoke about Absolute, was it was a campaign that was based on art and advertising, my two passions. Art being my best passion, and Andy Warhol being the guy who actually started the relationship with Absolute. So that made me believe the ideas I have about art and advertising are actually real. So for me, not taking the campaign to Cape Town was a threat, because Cape Town has got a thriving art scene, but the blacks in Cape Town do not have the voice. They have the support of the galleries, they have the support of Europe,
but no voice.
No voice. The advertising cats just know they will never have a voice, so they just cross over to Jozi very quickly. But everyone wants to end up in Cape Town, actually, in a creative space, because that's where the international people come and meet you, you know.
Do we really though? Do we really want to end up in Cape Town? Is that what you want to do?
I think you want to be everywhere. I want to be in Durban. I want to be in Cape Town. And I want to work with everybody. Currently, we're doing a lot of work with the Cape Townians. We've got a strong relationship with a production house and a gallery, Muti Gallery and Muti Productions.
Right.
We're working with a Brazilian guy, which is actually exciting. So he's based in Cape Town. He's Brazilian. He works with Alfonso, who's a colored boy, who's also quite different.
Yeah.
So that whole thing for us works. You know, where there's women, where there's freaks, where there's all sorts of fruits. You know?
Can I just
ask? So the solution for us is to work together. The fact that we started working together as collectives, as little things.
Yeah.
We need to spread that out. We need to go and meet Emiso. We need to go and meet whoever works in Cape Town. We need to spend time. I don't know. I'm not such a big fan of...
Doesn't everybody come to Joburg for the money?
Yes.
I think from around Africa.
That's the other obvious
thing. I mean, I know Cape Town is a bit difficult. It's the last outpost and all of that.
Yeah.
But doesn't everybody gravitate towards Joburg because it's the economic power hub of Africa?
And I hear you. And that makes perfect sense, right? Mm. But at the same time, it just means that we're all going to start telling stories the like same. Joburg people, right? And all I'm asking is, why is it that we're not going to emphasize the fact that, like, guys, it's important that you stay in Cape Town. Bring us insights from Googs. Bring us insights from around there so we can make advertising that speaks to all of South Africa.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the money is. And if it is the money, right? What maybe I'm not the finance cat. Right?
No.
But why is it that the gap is that big between the salaries in Joburg and the salaries in Cape Town?
I mean
you spoke about a solution, Kulia.
Yes, the solution,
I didn't hear it.
The solution is what you started talking about.
Mm.
People need to stay where they are, so that they can give us those insights.
That's what's up.
People need to travel so they can fetch those
other insights and bring them back.
Right. Yeah. So just because I was raised in Zimbabwe, but I've always been a Josie boy.
Shout out Sim.
You know, I was raised in Bulawayo, KwaBalanda, Eluveve.
Yeah.
So, but and I'm a former Catholic. Those things have made my experiences, you know.
From a straight lace as well.
I lived in Cape Town, but it does not take Mpumetip Kloof as on 5.
Yeah.
Right? It does not take those insights that I bring from Mpumetip Kloof as on 5. So the solution is really to, like I was saying, what we started doing was working with Bofest, and Bofest worked with us.
Yeah.
Working, calling Bonewo into our things, Bonewo being able to start other things, but we never not worked together.
Right.
Since I left Cape Town, I was working with Muti, and I'm still working with Muti. I go there for exhibitions, I go there to get materials for the interior gigs that we're doing, to pick up things that are made of concrete that are not made here. So I go to Durban to pick up stuff, and people do that, you know.
So we create
going to the finances. It is unbelievable how much money a creative can actually create by giving things value. So I do not know if the systems that we trust, are still worth operating in. We've had a couple of agencies, and that model for us never worked. But the model of finding value in each other is working much better, and
it's
making us turn art and ideas into things that support our families, into things that support our lifestyles, into things that make us able to speak proudly of what we do without thinking that we don't have a voice and we have to conform.
Yeah.
And that's what's killing everyone. If you wanted the truth, there it is. Everybody is doing it the old way. Everybody's paying everybody the money the old way, and everybody's maintaining the status quo, and the only thing we're doing is we're having concepts that are different. But the way Nkwenkwe lived and the way we live today in advertising has
changed completely.
Can I also say part of the solution is,
I like this, I like this a lot.
Break out.
Not seeing that traditional college and then get a job. You know, if you're a graphic designer, there are so many things you can do.
Make objects. That
you can educate, you can be fine arts, can work for your community, you can work in politics. You don't have to go get a job at an agency.
Cool.
So this whole coming to Joburg so you can join an agency, it kind of takes away from graphic design as a whole. There's so much more you can do. Instead of getting a job, become a producer. You know, make t-shirts, make clothing, make furniture, produce stuff as a designer.
And you know what, guys? And I agree with you entirely, right? Because the entrepreneur part of it is how we're going to change the game and whatever, right? Yeah. But are we then saying we're just going to walk away from what both of you guys are saying? We know what the problem is.
Yeah.
But so don't solve the problem. Let's step out of the problem and create another path that is you doing your, because advertising. Yes, hold on, Kuli. I told you guys going to be lit. So what's important for me, what's important, right, is that we can't let whatever's going on down there happen, and then we think our solution is to create another industry parallel to the one that runs the game. You know what I mean? And what I was asking you guys primarily is, how do we then make those guys, make sure they don't make a Sanbona Ama weekend. You know what I mean? And because if we step parallel, I know, right? It makes you feel like that. But if we say we want to step parallel to that, that's not going to stop because we would have left the game. You know? So are we saying then that we're fine with it being like that? It will just create another economy.
No. You know, I'm a college dropout. I'm still searching
Thank you, Kanye.
For education.
Thank you, Kanye.
I think that I was college because I couldn't finish my studies.
Yeah.
I took the industry as a school.
Right.
UCB for me was a huge school. And it's one of those places that I'll still recommend anyone young to start at.
Colby and I just missed each other at FCB. As he left, I just arrived there.
But, I mean, we all agree it is a great school.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that these places that we come from are bad, but I'm saying you can't go to a university and come out maintaining the ideologies of those universities.
Right.
You have to come out with a new perspective. You have to come out with a evolved mind. That's what I think education is that it evolves you.
Right.
Right. So I'm not saying let's burn FCP, never.
Yeah.
I see she's the advertising. I'm saying let's learn. I'm saying let's find value in ourselves. Let us have the voices that we seek as black people.
Yeah.
Whether we are in the schools that are the big agencies, whether we are in the boutique places where we're learning that you can also own an agency by just watching the guy who owns the agency.
Right.
Because he's not so far.
Yeah.
You know? And not admiring the other illustrator because he brings cookies and coffees and he gets the awards. What I'm talking about is just finding yourself and learning that it's then you can find others. You know, that's all we have to do. That's the real solution. It's not breaking. It's breaking away from simulation.
Yeah, breaking away traditional from parts.
Yes, you know? and references that have nothing to do with us.
So let me phrase it a slightly different way. So you speak about mood styling, right?
Yeah.
It's a thing that nobody had ever thought could exist in advertising until you created it.
Yes.
Right? And that's dope, right? In Cape Town, for example, we only ever get to hear, for example, with advertising we call black, right? Yeah. I promise you, we only ever get to hear the Joburg kind of black, right? So is it going to take all the cats who live in Cape Town, right, to create a thing like a mood styling that lives alongside the game for us to say, you know what, it's fine. They are now conquering the game. Because then, personally, I think that we would not have fixed what we all know is a problem. Right? Is that what it's going to take?
Which problem?
Okay.
You know why?
Which problem? No, that's important.
I think we need to be direct about
cool.
that.
So
racism in Cape Town?
No,
or
no.
Unemployment?
I'm not going to call it
industry issues?
No,
or
none of those. The fact that every black creative who lives in Cape Town wants to come to Joburg.
I think part of it starts with the colleges and the art schools teaching kids that you don't have to do the college, get a job at an agency. If you're going to do that, then Joburg looks attractive because there's a lot of money. The economy is bigger in Joburg.
Right.
Everyone wants to come to Joburg because the economy is bigger. There's more money. You're always going to have that. So what I'm saying is part of it is teaching
kids the white creatives who live in Cape Town, they don't want the money.
No, they do come up here.
So,
but also they're part of an established system, an economy that already has money. There's old money there, so they're okay. But here's also what I'm saying is teach kids that you don't have to go get a job. You can be a producer. You can start something.
No,
you
I hear
can,
that point.
You know, start an indie thing.
Cheza wants to talk.
So Cheza is in the studio today and he wants to have an opinion on this thing. He's been burning about this opinion.
It's not an opinion per se, but I think the question that Mark is asking is,
they're giving us cars. Before, we had Kuchas Bizwan.
So are we to walk away? Not everyone can be an entrepreneur. Not everyone can do what they want to do outside of the system. Mm-hmm. So these agencies exist and will exist for a long time. I think the question Grant is asking is that, how then do we address the problem within those agencies? Which is an important one. Do we leave the kids that are in agencies right now, or the people that are in agencies, how do we turn the traditional agencies to become, to understand okay. that there's a shift in focus instead of just building a thing that runs parallel. We need to address the traditional, because we can't pretend like they don't exist.
Yeah. But can I just get back to what Neo was saying? You know, when you say we need to address it at school level, that sorts out a lot of things. Yeah. If we want to sort out inequalities in South Africa, we need to give people free education. And I swear, in 20 years' time, no one will say, I didn't have the opportunity. Right? If you want to change the advertising industry in 20 years' time, you want to change it now. Let's get our own schools. Okay, and let's also wait.
Short-term solutions for now, though. The guys are sitting in agencies now.
You wanted answers. Let me give you answers.
Okay. Calm down. Fine. So I think we digress a little bit. You know, so we talk about the education system and whatever, and I agree with that entirely, right?
Yeah.
But we're still not getting at the point the thing I'm still asking is, how are we going to make sure that guys, black guys who work in Cape Town, don't want to come up here and want to stay in Cape Town, ne? Because like I said, there are white creatives who are in Cape Town who are earning what you guys are calling, you know, not the money that is Joburg, because of historical money. And crazy enough, there are white people who are moving from Joburg to Cape Town, right? So something must be happening in Cape Town that does not make black creatives comfortable, but every other kind of creative feels like it's okay. Is it something that we should change? Are we fine with it? If not, how are we going to change it?
You know what? Part of it, and I think we need to step back a little bit. Part of it is, you know, if somebody wants a job, you can't stop them. You know, we need to encourage entrepreneurism. You know, we need to encourage independent thinking. I find jobs completely poisonous.
Boom time.
Jobs are so
stifling. Yeah.
So you shouldn't, you know, if you do what we do, it shouldn't be a job, man. It's a pleasure to wake up and draw images for a living, to think up brands, to think up ideas. It's a pleasure, and I find jobs interfere with that a lot.
Is that a reference to money, or is that a reference to, like, going to a place of employ?
Well, I was really saying, you know, I don't know what you can do for somebody that wants a job. I'm really more concerned about people. How can I help somebody think outside the box, stand on their own, you know, encourage kids to not go get a job, but start a studio. But that's, for me, that's where we should be, that's where we should be going. How do we get more kids studying things?
But so the kid creates a studio, they're going to need to employ some people. I think the job thing per se is not a bad thing. It's the environment that's created. Yeah, I'm saying, like a kid that creates a studio, starts their own studio, they still need to employ people. So it's not necessarily the job thing. It's also like the environment or how we think about what a job is. The current one doesn't work. Because either way, there will always be people that you need to employ. Even if you started your own thing, you still need people. You still need human capital.
Yeah.
The idea of a job, it's really old.
It's evolving, so don't...
Okay. All right. I'm going to jump in here now. You know what? I know it's a difficult question. You know, and that's what I pose it to you guys, because that's exactly why we haven't fixed it. You know, because if the solution was easy, right, we would have come up and made guys down there realize that they need to become a part of South Africa, for example. And the thing that irks me the most now is the fact that I feel like we've all just gone, you know what? It's fine. Cape Town does that kind of thing, and we're fine with it. Like, for example, had the Design Share Party ever thought about what it would be like to go down there and inspire cats? And do we think that things like that, initiatives where we actually start going down there, and empowering is a bad word, but going down there and going, guys, come on now, right? You have a place in this industry, and you have to, we need your insights in order to make the game work from a South African perspective. Would you ever do something like with the Design Share Party, like go to Cape Town and do something like that?
Yeah, part of the plan is to go national in the next 2 years or so. But speaking of Cape Town, you've got Design Indaba over there with the various programs, and
it also costs $1 million to go to the Design Indaba, man.
you've also got Dillian, who does Creative Nestlings. He's doing that in Cape Town.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
Now, to go down there and inspire black creatives, right, who don't have to look up to Design Indaba or Dylan, who kind of go, and it's a thing that is a very big part of this show for me. You know, it's to kind of go, people who live in on the outskirts of what advertising comes across as, which is Joburg, right, should feel like there's a guy Ozwang from Zim Bulawayo Kalang DK who and I could be that guy and I could do what Koliwe does, you know. And for me, I think that it's going to be inspiring to a lot of cats who think that the jobs are in Joburg to see a cat like you come down there and go, look, we do this, and you have a voice in Cape Town.
Yeah.
So is that something that you guys would look into?
Yeah, completely. In about 2 years, we're going to be national.
And we don't have 24 months. We don't. But more importantly, tell me, Koliwe, do you guys at Studio 214 have some kind of like, mentorship is also a bad word. Are there some cats that you're taking through the thinking that you're taking us through right now? Are there some up and comers that you're taking through the system?
I think the reason why we exist is to actually create that fertile ground for people to come and work with us. You know.
Yeah.
When you ask about Design Share Party being in Cape Town, I think Studio 214, 76 Mother Russia has always been working with Cape Townians.
That's what's up.
SAB, we shot in Cape Flats.
With young kids.
Yeah, with young kids. Yeah. Authentic young kids. I don't want to talk about advertising as if it's a crisis, because I think it is a mess.
You don't think we're in crisis?
I think it's a mess. You know, and it's okay. You know, some
what's the difference between a crisis and a big mess?
And a mess is something that's not pretty anymore. I used to like playing there, and I don't. It's a mess. It's not pretty, you know.
Yeah, you have to come up with mood.
But yeah,
advertising's it's a mess. Almost dead.
You know,
I
don't know.
S is traditional advertising. Yeah.
And with that, we've arrived at Sweeping Statement Hour.
Hey, yes. But we want to play with everybody. We've been playing with people like Abia, who's right. Now running Amen Couture.
Yeah.
We once paired him up with what's his name? Sheldon Kopman.
Right.
And we
do
that. We will take a young designer and pair them up with somebody older.
Yeah.
We will go and fetch Imiso and Faith. We will play with a Riot and a Kuzi.
Yeah.
We will, you know, that's, so we don't say, I like that you're saying mentorship. We don't mentor.
Yeah.
We play with people.
That's what's up.
We have a moment with them, you know, and it's memorable. It affects you. You get afflicted. You want to play again. Like, I would like to work with Abia again. I'd like to work with Sheldon. I keep working with Ama Creatives. I keep working with Neo. I keep bumping into theater, you know, photographers like Spiewer, photographers like young Leroy, who's up and coming.
Yeah. And shout out Leroy Jason, what's up?
As a photographer also. These are things, I mean, if you look at Spiewer, we as friends, he started out as an art director. We lived together.
Yeah.
And I watched his evolution at 214. That's where the 214 comes from. It actually comes from the space where everybody has been living and meeting.
School us about this 214 thing. I feel like you want to go there. You want to tell us what it is. Tell us.
Is what Design Share Party is as a formal thing. We are very informal. We were a house. We were a place where friends came to eat some curry.
Yeah.
We were once men on the street, but we were at 214. You know, we started at June 15 at 214.
Yeah.
We started everything at 214, and then we realized it is the space. That,
right.
If you look at Fabian, a friend of mine right now, he's shooting in Durban, a very huge movie. He lived with us at 214. So it's never been formalized until now, where we look back at our history and we're like, everybody met here. Everybody found shelter here. Everybody found something to eat here. Everybody found a conversation, you know. So
the end of advertising, if you need a sandwich, guys, go to Studio 214. they have a snack which obviously. No, but it is dope, because I feel like, you know, you're saying that, you know, there's an ecosystem that you guys have built, you know.
We're working with Simone, who's now a producer, fashionista.
Right.
We're styling also, like we were saying to you, we are in space design, we are styling, we are, it is an ecosystem, it's not mentorship, it's not all these corporate words.
Right.
I don't know them anymore, it's organic.
guys, and you know what? So you know, for me, I think, like, alongside all this amazing, and you guys are doing amazing, amazing stuff.
And we work with the big guys, so we love.
Hey, call you Abu Afid. Guys, call you to talk. Yeah. No, but I think you guys are doing really, really amazing stuff. And all I'm saying, for example, when I keep going back to the Cape Town conversation, which is actually just like the Durban conversation, right? It comes from the fact that I'm going, there's so many amazing people like you guys doing amazing things out here that I think that we should make the national agenda, right? Absolutely. And it makes me very proud to say I know people like yourselves doing dope stuff. But it makes me worry that I feel like it has a radius. And that radius kind of extends to... And only because I think that we should start building a South African brand of advertising that lives in Durban, lives in Cape Town. Like, for example, like Kwaito. Right, mm-hmm. When a Durban Kwaito song comes on, I think all of us go, you know what? We know Kwaito that, like, Arthur and them used to make whatever, but Durban has a flavor that if those guys didn't make it, we wouldn't know that Durban is able to make that flavor of Kwaito. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Maybe can I just offer a little?
Babes will do more. Shout out.
Maybe we should look at the graffiti scene. You know, there's something amazing in the graffiti scene between Durban, Cape Town, and Jozi.
Yeah.
Ebutelezi, Mzwandile Ebutelezi knows their face.
That's interesting because maybe together. That's a place to start. Maybe.
No, it is. And I think I keep raising my voice because we've been behaving like that. We've been behaving like those boys who don't conform to anything.
Right. And
we'll pitch up. Like the amount of time I pitch up in Cape Town is frightening, you know.
Yeah.
And the amount of time I think I'm visiting and I come back knowing this guy who makes this thing. Because now I'm looking for thing makers also, not just thing lovers.
Thing makers and not thing lovers.
Yeah. No, but thing lovers, thing makers get together, we make things that are beautiful.
That's so dope. That's dope.
I would encourage us to look at what the graffiti brothers are doing. I encourage us to look at what the two are doing with the Cape Townian scene. Because we want to see more of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we want that Zulu flavor.
Can I say as well, like, you know, what my part in this is, I'm not gonna go get a job. I want to see.
I love this.
Let me just say this. I want to see a little boy in Kuruman go. In 10 years, I don't want a little boy in Kuruman to ask what creativity is.
Mm. And or the South African brand of it.
I'm ensuring that by doing the design share study.
That's what's up.
I get 3 people to share. 100 people watch them. These 100 people go home. They tell other people, 500 people, that I saw this. And then eventually a little boy in Guruman goes, wow, okay, so you mean to tell me drawing is okay? You mean to tell me you can make a living from drawing or from coming up with ideas? You
know? That is spot on, Joe. That's spot on. I mean?
So everybody must do the part.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody wants to get employment, I don't know how much I can do for them. But if somebody wants to produce, then your influence spreads. Yeah. You know, your idea spreads. The inspiration spreads. We must all do our part.
That's really dope. I mean, we joke and laugh about it, but I think it's a very, very big part of what creativity is. You know, like, not seeking the approval of, you know, the big picture. Yeah, just kind of going, hey, I can make this thing happen, and making it happen. Guys, you won't believe it. Nah, the hour's up. And I always say, you know, like, it feels like the hour flies by. You know, there's so much to talk about. There's so much to kind of interrogate and to kind of let people know about from these amazing minds that always sit in front of me. Quickly, I'm talking about 15 seconds. If there's one thing right now, right, that you could tell an intern, right, as they walk into your office, one thing you tell an intern right now, 15 seconds, what would it be? Call you.
Be yourself and make contact.
Boom.
Others.
Boom. Boom. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's dope. No?
It'll probably learn how to manage rather than learn how to craft. How to be an operator.
That's interesting. That's
start learning now.
Guys, I'm going to blow your minds every week, guys. Every week. So, cheese, if there's one thing, I mean, if you were... And you see a lot of interns as well in your line of work. If an intern was working now, what would you say to them? 15 seconds.
probably a bit of what they both said, but also to always trust the process, whatever you're going through. So know you're there for a reason. Know whatever challenges you come up against, they're there for a reason. And also know that you ended up in that place or space for a particular reason. Just follow through. It might not make sense in the beginning, but follow through.
Oh, really?
How sage is that, guys? How sage is cheese, y'all? Oh, wow. Guys, we're out of time.
I'm smarter than you look.
Somebody told you that.
Guys, the time is up. We've had an amazing hour where I feel like, you know, there's some more stuff I wanted to ask the cats. Once again, I hope the powers that be can hear the fact that I probably need another hour to get to this stuff. But I hope that they'll listen to the podcast and hear me out. But most importantly, like, I think it's important, the conversation that we have and to build a South African brand of what we do. Get the podcast, download it, pay it for your moms. We didn't actually swear too much. So that's dope. And like I say every day, you know, I'm inspired by the people that sit in front of me every day. But most importantly, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having tequila. Thank you, y'all. Cheers, G-Man, the ad man.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.